Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Rob Fanoff.
And I'm Mark Zielinski. Welcome to our 2016 Kings of War Year in Review. We're also going to be looking ahead to 2017. It's one of my favorite episodes of the year, so I'm glad you could join us today. And so, Robbo, how's it going, my friend?
Doing excellent. Holidays are over, or at least Christmas is over, so that's something. But now that I'm back from Michigan, visiting my mom and my brother, the real world came a-calling, had to go back to work. I had to get a laundry list of things tackled. You know, I had to clean the hobby room. It was in dire need. And I got a little fridge for the hobby room from the wife for the beverages. So that was cool. But couldn't just take it up there in a filthy room, right? I had to clean it first. Terrain for Masters. The hobby room, the garage, it all is in disarray right now. Covered in materials for hobby, for terrain projects for the Masters. You know, I built a ton of ponds and hills and fields, and I still got a ton more to go. The big thing that I'm working on right now is autumn trees. Unfortunately, I haven't found what I like that I could just buy off the shelf. So if I can't go the easy route, I'm researching, well, how do I go ahead and build them? Or how do I, you know, take something existing and modify it to my own liking. So then I've kind of found two different ways to do it. One is I could possibly reflock, you know, the cheap bottle brush trees you can get off of eBay. Or I've been looking at, you know, actually going the armature route where you buy an armature, either like a metal armature or the Woodland Scenics plastic armature, bend it up, and then, you know, use clump foliage to make the trees. So that's been my internet research project right now, and hopefully within a week or so I'll have a decision, and I'll be diving into 100-plus trees here shortly. I painted up an ogre for the International Campaign Day coming up next weekend. Really excited about that. The most shocking news, I have been taking inventory of a care package from Cranky Lawyer.
You're going to talk about that, huh? Well, let's be more accurate. Three care packages from the Cranky Lawyer.
I get a random DM from him and just says, what's your address? And if you know Robert, the Cranky Lawyer, as well as I do, you don't ask questions. You just give him the information he's looking for. And so I did. And a couple days ago, three large packages showed up. And when I say they're large, I mean they're large. And
large meaning $100 worth of postage.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I've been going through it and it's just insane. And the cool thing that's come out of this, though, is that I now have so many orcs that the club is going to do a club army. So I think that's something really cool. We're going to collectively design a list. We're going to collectively build it. Each of us will take different units and we'll paint the individual units, and basically we'll have a club army that we can use to teach new players the Kings of War game, or possibly use it as a ringer army in one of our events. So that's coming. I'm pretty excited about that.
No, you have to name the general Cranky something.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And yeah, big thanks to Robert. That was amazing. Totally unexpected, but, you know, blew me away by, you know, you never really, you know, I never really can guess with Robert what's, you know, because over the years I've heard of him sending stuff like pink boxing gloves and just random stuff. So you never know what's coming. But what arrived was quite the shipment. And it really knocked me back a little bit. I mean, there's probably...
Well, there's parts of eight armies there. So
two or three mega armies in there, maybe three or four small starter armies. I mean, it's overwhelming. I will have to post the pictures on Twitter at some point, but I'm still trying to get through it. There's just so much stuff.
Did you talk to him and see? Did he keep an army?
Yeah. So actually, I talked to Robert. This is just, he just was just downsizing his stuff that was never going to get used, it sounded like. He still has a King's War army. He's got his Beastman army that I think he bought off a great person. And he's going to continue to play King's War. He just had stuff sitting around that wasn't being used. And I took a picture of it and sent it to the club chat. And they were like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, I feel just like Smaug sitting on his hoard. You know, like his pile of gold, you know, just sitting in his treasure trove. And so pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. So there you go. So, well, I guess we're sponsored by the Cranky Lawyer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How about you, Mark? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, I'm jealous about getting the time to clean up your hobby room. I've actually been on vacation this week. I have gotten not a whole lot done. I've had so much to do with the kids and, you know, just doctor visits, dentist, parties, you know, I just, and getting paperwork done. You know, I'm finally wrapping up some paperwork from my mom, and I'm going to be hopefully done with a big chunk of it here at the end of the year. But I have been working on my batch painting, as I talked about in the Christmas episode. Yes, I finally got my test model done for my Steel Warrior, so he's all set. I've picked a real, what I consider good, but simple color scheme, and I'm going to try my batch painting. It's been a long time since I've really cranked, so, but I'll post some pictures when I get a chance, but I'm going to go with a Necromancer's Cloak, basic, you know, base color for them, and then I'm going to use a little bit of, you know, a lighter gray for, like, their tabards or their cloaks and things like that. You know, a little brighter silver for the guns, little dwarf flesh for their faces if they pop out, little brown for the beards, little red if they got the lenses for their eyes. And, you know, I'm going to be doing the black wash, you know, null oil or, you know, a strong tone from Army Painter. Get that wall washed down. And that dark gray looks black when you're done using that black wash over it. So it looks pretty good. I'm going to use the Steel Legion drab for the ring around the outside of the base, and I'm using that texture paint. I forget which one. It's Armageddon something or other that I'm using, and I put a soft tone wash on that. It's not perfect, but hey, they're fast, and that's what I'm trying to get to. You know, my favorite color is done, so I'm going to try perfecting this. Like I said, I didn't want to do it on my Kings of War models. I'm going to do it on these guys. I did get a chance to base coat five of them. I'm going to paint them five at a time, you know, half squads, I guess you could say. And after I got my test model. So I did base coat some today. So I'm looking forward to that. Once I get, you know, probably two squads of those guys done, then I'm going to turn around and take that technique over to Kings of War. So I'm excited about that. And the great thing about that is I can bop downstairs, go bloop, done, bop back upstairs, run around with the kids. You know, and then that's what I'm trying to do is get a bop back and forth style so I can just get stuff done. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm hoping over this weekend I'm going to get a little hobby cleaning room myself. So I need it. It's bad.
For me personally, I can't work when things are just like disheveled and messy and I don't know where anything is and I'm tripping over stuff. I'm like big time need to be ordered, clean, structure, organized. That's the only way I can get progress done. So
there you go. Well, Colin's got Nagash up on his paint table, so along with like skeletons everywhere. You want to talk about the I think my table's bad, his is worse. So, but I tried to organize him. That's the one thing I did. So he's watching those painting videos with Duncan trying to paint Nagash. So, and all the relatives bought him paint that he needed from the videos so he can paint them. His kid's got a ton of paint. And I mean, the paint costs more than a damn model.
Well, funny you say that. So I've got to go tomorrow to the hobby shop and pick up some more washes. Cause you know what? I love the GW washes. I think they're amazing.
Oh, they are. I mean, they are really pretty cool. So, yeah, they just do a nice job. Now, the one thing is they come in those giant pots now. They're like $750, which I guess is a bargain, but you're still paying $750 for them. So you're getting twice as much for less than twice the cost. So, we'll have to see. My local hobby shop having 25% off on GW, including paints.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know. I'm going to be up there tomorrow for sure. It's the last day of the sale, so I got to...
What'd you get exciting for Christmas?
Oh, well, that was the hobby episode. So I got the dwarf sharpshooters. I got the dwarf stone priest. Colin got me some those terrain paints like a Grellin Earth and two others that I don't remember in the big pot. It's a Grellin Earth, I remember. And, you know, he got me a little basing brush there. And I got that limited edition Sisters of Battle Canonist that came out from GW. That was a surprise.
Very cool.
So, but that was about it. That's all I got hobby wise. It was pretty. Oh, and the best thing, I got my outline.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, with the old guy disc there and stuff. Oh, it's really been good. I'm really enjoying that light a lot. So, really, really enjoying that. So, Hobby Claus did a great job this year. I cannot complain. How about you? What hobby did you get this holiday?
I just got a bunch of new Winsor Newton brushes. So, that's always a bonus because they're super expensive. So, for me to get four or five new brushes, that's awesome. And then I got a fridge for the hobby room, which is probably the best gift ever because now I don't have to keep going downstairs to get, you know, beverages when I'm parched in the middle of a hobby project. So
yeah. That's why your wife is the goddess of the pantheon of wargaming wives.
That is true. That is true.
She doesn't know it. You let her listen to these episodes.
I may have to let her listen to this one.
Why don't we go ahead and slide into the beginning of our topic for tonight, and that is the year in review 2016. So I went ahead and I surfed through all of the Mantic blogs and used my memory and tried to come up with, I tried to capture everything that came out this year. Okay, so I thought we would go over this and then, you know, well, we can go from there, you know, but I just thought that, you know, just kind of remind everybody what it is. Now, I did not put in the Dungeon Saga releases into this list, okay? Dungeon Saga, although you can use the models for Kings of War, it's a different game, so I didn't put that in there. You know, that's the same thing as like using a Bones figure or a GW figure in your army, as far as I'm concerned. So I didn't put those in the list because I didn't want to do the Bones releases and the GW releases or anything else. Right. So we just stuck to that. And I did throw a couple other things in there that were what I considered Kings of War related, just of note, that were in here. So, and the one big thing about this year, you know, it was very Walking Dead centric for GW this year. So the fact that we got a good surge of Kings of War was really nice. So, but you can certainly tell where the other releases took their toll later in the year.
Absolutely.
So, which is all right. So, well, why don't we start off? I'll do January and we'll just kind of swap off months if you want to do that.
Sounds perfect.
We'll talk a little bit. So January was all about the goblins. So we got the Goblin Bigot. You know, he was a metal model. And then we got the combination Big Rock Thrower and the Sharp Stick Thrower. You know, those are basically the same model with, you know, swappable heads on there. So,
hey, so I have a question.
Yeah.
Do the guys in the UK understand what the word bigot means here in the US?
I think that there's something about a growler that isn't exactly an international term either.
Right,
so.
Yeah, so... I'm always like, yeah, my goblin bigot's going to charge. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, you know, you got to get it. It's a big get.
Well, that's the way I pronounce it. I'll say big get.
Yeah.
try to really enunciate that second syllable to make it sound a little bit different.
yes, that could certainly be abused, but yeah, I really like the Rock Thrower and the Sharp Stick Thrower. Those were really nice models. I actually like those quite a bit.
February was all about the Abyss, or as Mantic likes to call them, the Forces of the Abyss. Tons of plastic kits that were funded in the Kickstarter, the second Kickstarter. You got your Lower Abyssals, the Succubi, which I really love. Then you have the Molochs, which are large infantry metal models, the Abyssal Champion, the Ifrit, and probably one of the best models in the range, the Archfiend. You know, this guy is 3 inches tall, four and a half inches to the top of the wings, you know, 75 millimeter base. He's resin. He's big. He's bad. He's spectacular.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Love that guy. So he's certainly a standout. I have not built mine yet, though. So,
yeah, my problem is I have all these models, and I just keep getting more and more and more and more models.
Yeah, like three huge boxes of them.
Well, I mean, even before I had that, I mean, I have too many models. That's what I'll say.
Oh, that's why I'm firing up my Chinese-style painting factory.
Me too. Me too.
I have to.
Yep.
I mean, I'll never get these things done if I, you know, paint and, you know, to any type of high standard. I'm dead. So, you know, I've got some nice armies to play with. I just got this thing. I like playing with painted models on the table.
Well, you don't play anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yes, we do. It's my Outrider pedigree, man. I like to have painted models on the tabletop. So I just got that drive. So I got to get this fired back up again. I think, you know, I've been struggling a lot with that painting, as we talked about before. So we're going to do it. But yeah, that Archfiend, I turned over that entire army range over to Colin. And as I mentioned before, he's paying the gosh. So it's going to be a while probably. So I might have to steal him back and finish up his stuff over there. So he's always been an undead player, and I think always will be. He just loves those skeletons and vampires. So, you know, so, all right, well, let's move on to March. And in March, we started filling out the ranks, filling some of the holes in the range and stuff like that. You know, we got the whites, those big chunky ones, the metal ones. Those were awesome. We got the Silver Breeze Cavalry. Those were really pretty cool, too. It was nice to see those come out. We got the Troll Bruiser, the Abyssal Dwarf Slave Driver. So got the old whip going there. And then the Lycanus. Always a nice model. So, yeah, that was a good month. You know, they kind of spread it around. It was also kind of the month they gave you those little 500-point army lists, you know, for you to go ahead and try out and stuff like that. They had, like, three units in each of them and things like that, which I thought was really cool, and I would love to see them do more of those, you know, so they could do the little army deals. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the episode where I think that might work out perfect for Mantic. So we shall certainly see. So what did we see in April, Rob?
Well, April was all about the forces of nature. Again, we had some plastic kits that were funded in the second Kickstarter, like Salamanders and Naiads. But then they added in some really cool models like the Forest Shamblers, a Druid character, Centaur unit, which is amazing, and a Centaur Chief. So it was nice to see that range get, fleshed out, I guess is the way I would describe it. Because, I mean, we had the Salamanders and the Naiads for a little bit, but to see the rest of the units get fleshed out and really for that army really to take off, and you actually start to see those armies on the tabletop, it was really exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just put another army faction on the board, which was great. So, and then we took a break. We didn't really say anything for May or June. And then in July, speaking of new army factions, the Empire of Dust arrived on the scene. So we had the Skeleton Warriors, the Skeleton Archers, which I thought was great because you could never get the old ones, the Revenants, the Balefire Catapults, the Ammonite Pharaoh, the Revenant Champion, Swarms, the Enslaved Guardians. I mean, man, they put out, I mean, new models plus extra metal bits, you know, to make those hybrid models, you know, to kind of Empire of Dust up the undead range that they currently had. But I thought it turned out quite nice, so I was pretty excited to see that stuff. What did you think of the Empire of Dust there?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. You know, I would say like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, those hybrid kits weren't great. Like you mentioned, the Skeleton Archers. I have the original Skeleton Archers, and they were quite a pain in the butt to put together. But I think Mantic over the years has learned a lot better how to make the metal and plastics mix together. And I think Empire Dust is a classic example of that. So they go together a lot easier, which is great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they were very cool. So I Enslaved Guardians, I think I might be picking some of those up because
they're awesome.
I've got a ton of the old Tomb Kings from the G-Dub line. So the one thing I don't have are Enslaved Guardians. So I never picked those up from the G-Dub line because they were so expensive. So I never did.
A ton of them. And what are they? I think when they went out, they were $20 a piece or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They were unbelievably expensive. And, of course, they were in fail cast. So that really made them even less attractive. So, but hey, if you got a ton of them, let's talk later. And then, not on a model front, but then Army Painter joined with Mantic and put out four different army specific paint sets, which I thought was really awesome. So really, really cool. So you can go over to the Army Painter or you can go to the Mantic web store and you can find those Kings of War specific Army Painter sets. And I like Army Painter paint, so I enjoy using it a lot. I don't know. It just works for me. And the one color I'm just in love with right now, which you cannot buy separately. So anybody over there at the Army Painter who's listening, please make this paint available separately, is Necromancer's Cloak. I love that color. It's like a super dark gray. It's not black and it's not gray. You know, it's like a super dark gray. I love it. I love that color. So hopefully they'll put that out separately. And then finally that month, we got hard plastic movement trays from Mantic, which was nice. You know, a lot of people use MDF or they're using that. What's that kind of board you use? I want to say Sarah Sisma or something like that, but that's a building.
Centra.
Yeah. So you use that. So everybody uses something different. And, you know, hey, they came up with hard plastic movement trays. You can't beat that. So I've not picked them up yet. So I might have to try that. I'm working with other different basing stuff right now. So, but well, we'll see. But it was nice for them to put those out. I was kind of hoping for some for Christmas, but they didn't show up. So it's hard to argue.
You need to be a better boy, I guess.
Evidently. So, and then we skipped August, and then in September, Rob.
Oh, man. September was amazing. We had the, from a model perspective, we had another month where we were filling out some of the ranks, like Earth Elementals, which are amazing models, the Stone Priest, for the Dwarf Army, for the Forces of the Abyss, we got Tortured Souls and Hellhounds, which are really great models. Forces of Nature got Naiad Worm Riders. Then we also got Slave Orc Gore Riders, an Elf Chariot. And then we got a couple supplements. We got the Mantic Compendium and the Piece de Resistance of 2016, the Kings of War Historical Armies Rulebook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, you know, I think the Kings of War rule book or historical rule book for me, the big significant part was some of the new special rules and some of the rule tweaks that I think we're going to see in the future for the main game. I really do. So I'm very, very excited about that myself. How about you, Rob? What'd you think about the historical? You've played a couple of games of it actually. So
yeah, it's good. It's good. I over the years I've dabbled in historical stuff. We'll get into this discussion in a little bit, but I think the historical book opens up some nice avenues for us as a community.
Oh, I really think it does too. So, and that was basically it for releases for the year. We got into The Walking Dead and everything else, but you know, there are a couple of things I wanted to, you know, mention that happened in October that were kind of, you know, they were Kings of War related, but also related to some of the other Mantic games, but I don't even know how to pronounce this, but they put together a writing competition, and part of that was writing Kings of War short stories, which I thought was really cool. And so they actually got a winner and stuff like that. You can actually download that from the website, I think. And so if you're craving some Kings of War fiction like I am, that's a neat little something to wet your palate with. And then, of course, they announced the Brush with Death painting competition. I love the trophy for that thing, so I will never win one, but I thought it was really cool for them to come up with the brush with death. So I think it's a great name. I think the trophy goes right along with it, and it was just really cool of Mantic to do. So
let's take a quick commercial break, and on the other side we're going to talk about 2016. We're going to kind of give it a review looking back in hindsight, and we'll talk about some of the things we liked, some of the things we didn't like, and just dissect 2016.
We need a bumper to share with the other Mantic podcasts. No swearing allowed. Oh, real professional. The Fourth of Snake is a UK-based Kings of War podcast presented by John.
They want to be an individual.
Dan. Nick.
Can I go to the toilet, please?
And Matt. You can find us on Facebook at OFFS and on Twitter at O4FootSnake. And you can find us on iTunes. That's 32 points of damage. Let's do a nerf check.
Anything welcome back to Counter Charge. Mark, 2016 was a pretty good year.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, there were a couple of misfires here and there, but overall, I really think that it was a good year. So, I mean, on the whole, the best thing was it was a good year of growth, you know. And as we mentioned, as we went through the year, filling out the ranges. That's always something that I like, is having models for the ranges. And Mantic is always, even if they take models from other companies to help fill out the ranges, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? But I like that they're coming out with their own sculpts, and there's so many units and so many different army lists right now. I mean, even G-Dub would have a hard time filling out every hole. And they didn't always fill every hole in their army list. So I appreciated them putting out some of the more popular units and getting them out there. So I thought that was really, really cool. But good growth. I thought it was a good year, you know, especially for a year where you didn't have a major release, as in, you know, the relaunch of the game like you did last year. And this year was just good, solid growth, building strength on strength. And, you know, the other thing was the growth of the tournament scene. You know, it was really good to see it got stronger as you went through the year, as you listened to the guests that we had on the show. The tournament scene just went from strength to strength to strength and just kept growing and growing and growing. And I'm looking forward to that continuing in 2017. So, Rob, what did you think about the year?
Well, a little bit of what you've already said. You know, it was just a great year for tournaments, right? I mean, and events in general. I mean, here in the Southeast, I think we had 6, but they were solid events. And this year we're going to have 12. And so I'm looking forward to building on 2016. You know, also, I thought it was a great expansion of the model range and rules, like you mentioned. It was nice to see some of those units that may have had models that just didn't work, like, for example, whites, or ones that didn't have any models, like some of the war machines for the Goblin Army. So it was just nice to see some of those holes filled in. And then the best thing about 2016 was I just really enjoyed seeing all these different folks playing King's War. People that, you know, historically may not have even been playing Warhammer. They could have been playing historicals. They could have been playing Bolt Action, Flames of War, whatever. It's nice to see just a really disparate group of people that have come together and really enjoy Kings of War. And, you know, I think we're really building a special community, and I'm really excited about 2017.
Oh, I'll definitely echo that. A special community certainly is being built. It's great. And it's like you've mentioned before on previous casts, you know, the world blew up and everybody went to their certain thing. So everybody that's here playing Kings of War wants to be here. They're not playing it because it's the only game in town or it's the most popular. You know what I mean? They're here because they want to be here, so which is fantastic. And it is nice, you know. It's good to have everybody around. So, well, why don't we go ahead and slide into our different categories. So, Rob, I see you changed things up on me here a little bit, so putting in a little more extra diversity. So this is fantastic. So why don't we go ahead and start our first category, Top 5 Heroes/Monsters released for the year 2016. So why don't we go ahead and read these in reverse order, Rob, and we'll go back and forth. So my number 5 was the Abyssal Dwarf Slave Driver. I thought he was neat with his little whip there and everything. And the old one was kind of, I've got 2 of the old ones. So, you know, take a look at it. I thought the new one was quite the upgrade over him. So I was happy to see him come out. So what's your number 5, Rob?
The Centaur Chief. I just thought it's a very unique model. Very harkens a lot to, in my mind, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe books. You know, basically a naked centaur with limited armor. Just real powerful looking dude. I really, really like that model.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of a Raul Partha sculpt or something like that, you know? I don't know. He gives me that old feeling to it, which is good, you know, but he's still crisp and detailed and everything. He just gave me that sense, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So, my number four, the Lycanus. Yeah, he looks big and bad. So before that model came out, I painted up a Bones figure. I even forget what it's called, but and he made a decent Lycanus. I was happy with him, and then the new one came out, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, sure.
I painted one up. I don't need another one, so I don't know what I'm going to do. But he was I like him. I thought he was a nice sculpt, so I was glad to see that one come on the scene. And, you know, Lycanus is a popular figure. So, you know, I was glad that they came out with something. So what did you have for number 4, Rob?
Mine is the Abyssal Slave Driver Chariot. It's really unique in that you don't even really have this unit in the army list. It's sort of like, I guess one of their tips is add him to a unit of slave orc gore riders.
Yeah, he's a unit filler all the way. So
right, it's pretty unique that they actually would take the time to sculpt and manufacture a unit that just because it's fun.
You know, I love that guy in the chariot too. He didn't make my list, but I certainly do see where you're coming from on him. So,
well, and my number three is Lycanus. You've already talked about it. It's an amazing model. Really, really, really fantastic model. My only wish is that it would have came out a lot earlier before I painted up all my werewolves.
See, we had the same problem. So that's cool. My number three, the Ifrit. I love that guy. So I think he's a really cool model.
Well, I love the model. I hate the guy.
Yeah, well.
Playing against him.
Playing against him, that's different. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. The one photo of the one that Manning painted, he's got that little, I think the one's got the little gray beard that sticks out. That drives me crazy. But besides that, I like that model a lot. I love the flames up around him and everything. He looks really cool. And I like the multiple head and arm options too that come with the model. So you can get some different, some different variation in him. But really, really liked him. So. So what'd you have for number two, Rob?
My number two is the Archfiend. We've touched on it a little bit. He's huge. He's bad. He's evil. He's awesome. And most importantly, he's resin, which I absolutely love. I'm not a huge fan of metal, or restic. So I like the hard plastic quite a bit. Resin is equally good to me. So I love him. He's a great model. Very detailed, very, very crisp detail. And I've seen some really good examples of him painted up. Jeff Swan painted one up that's really great. So I'm looking forward to getting mine put together and put on the table.
Yeah, I wonder if Jeff's going to be playing that Abyssal Army at Lone Wolf or not. I haven't seen it in person. I'd love to. So that'd be really cool. I'm going to stick with that Abyssal theme. I like the Abyssal Champion. I think he's cool looking too. He's got the different head options and stuff like that too. I don't know. I like him too. I just think he's awesome. So, and I know Dungeon Saga's not on those lists, but during that, I ended up with the Abyssal Champion with the wings and stuff. So he's cool too. So
yeah, absolutely.
He's definitely making my Kings of War army when I get that Abyssals fired up. But I like that model a lot. So
my number one was the Cursed Pharaoh, the bane of a lot of people's existence on the tabletop, but it is an amazing, amazing model. You know what's curious though? They didn't model him with wings.
I know. That was my one big comment is, how can you do him without optional wings?
Yeah, because I didn't think he came in the other way.
That's right. He only flies fantastic. First class.
Right. Fantastic model. Just in general, the Empire Dust Army, it's a lot of hybrid kits, but some of the one-off units that they've made specific for that army, like the Guardians, like the Swarms, and some of these characters are fantastic. They're really, really characterful, have a lot of detail, and painted up very, very well.
Yeah, he was a good model, but didn't make my list because I got the Stone Priest from Hobby Claws, and I really like that model for some reason. My number one is the Stone Priest. I don't know. He, to me, has a lot of character. He's cool. He's also going to force me to buy some Earth Elementals. I don't know why I really like that model. He's just nice. He doesn't come with all the head. He's just a slab of metal. But for some reason, I just really liked him. So that was our top five Hero Monsters released for 2016. So why don't we go ahead and move on to top five units released for the year.
You're listening to Countercharge.
So why don't we go ahead and slide into the top five units released for the year. So, Rob, let's go ahead and do these in the bottom. I see you couldn't help yourself. You put six on the list. You're not allowed. So who ends up as an honorable mention in 2016 for Kings of War units?
That'll be the Hellhounds, part of the Forces of the Abyss. Fantastic models. I can't wait to get my hands on some. But fortunately, like you said, I've got six on my list, and they're the ones that got bumped. What's in your number five spot, Mark?
My number five, those are going to be the Naiad Worm Riders. And the only reason they're number five is because I'm probably not going to buy them. I'm not going to be doing a Trident Realms army. So at least not right away. I've got enough to paint. But I really think the paint job that the Manta crew did on them was really good. I think it accentuated the models, made them look really good. It's killing me that I have not... I don't have the bigger urge to buy them. I mean, I want to buy them, but I know I'm not going to use them. And I look at the big pile of metal and plastic I have, and I go, ah, Ronnie, you're killing me. So, but definitely the Worm Riders, they had to be on this list. So,
don't you have a Forces of Nature army, though?
I do. But I don't need Worm Riders yet. When I build that army, I will think about it. But I do have a Forces of Nature army. I do. I'm not a big Naiad fan. So I don't know why. I don't like the color scheme Manta came up with them.
It's like pastel colors. It's good. It works for the theme that they're going for.
Well, you know what? It's different, and I applaud them for doing that. It just doesn't do it for me personally. So I look at this stuff, and I think the bolt thrower is cool and the upcoming army and stuff like that. But, you know, just doesn't, you know, I can't get triggered by every army. At least I'm glad I'm not. But I do have a Forces of Nature army. Just the Naiads are down on my list a little bit. And in my stupid quest to try to get every army, I'm sure I will build one of those one of these days. But let me get the speed painting and building down pat, and then I'll entertain it. But those models are fantastic, and they had to make the list. They're just lower on it because I'm probably not going to buy them, so... How about you, Rob?
My number five are the Centaurs. Again, very Narnia inspired. I like them. They're not heavily armored. They're metal, which I'm not a huge fan of metal. But I still think there's some great detail there. I think they would paint up really well. So when you do get that Forces of Nature army out, I expect to see Centaurs in your army list.
Oh, a little spoiler there for me, but all right, my number four, the Lower Abyssals. I just like putting those models together, so that's why they're on the list. So I mean, they're easy to put together. They're chunky plastic. I don't know why. They give me a little bit of that old G-Dub feel back in the oldie days. I don't know. I just like them. I like the way they look. I just think that they're kind of cool little models. So, that's why I had to put them on the list, the Lower Abyssals. So what'd you have for number four, Rob?
Mine are the Forest Shamblers, staying with that Forces of Nature theme. I love these models. Again, they're metal, but from a large infantry standpoint, they're fantastic. They have a lot of character.
Oh, yeah. They almost made my list. So a little spoiler there. But I think I have six of them for my Forces of Nature army. So I'm going to enjoy. I've already cleaned up. I already think I cleaned up three of them already in anticipation. I thought Forces of Nature were going to go as one of my next up armies. But hey, maybe it might be my next up army. But we'll see. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So. Why don't we go ahead and move on to number three? And number three, I like those new whites. I don't know why I like them. I have tried to buy them a couple of times from online, and I just they're always out of stock. So that tells me that they're popular, and I think they're cool. They're also featured in that 500-point Mantic list. So I think I got to get them. I'm going to try to get them. I'm actually probably go shopping for them tomorrow. So I think my friends at Wartime Hobbies might be able to hopefully order them for me, but I'm going to be looking for a set of whites myself. So
absolutely.
How about you? Number three?
In my number three spot, I've actually got the Naiad Worm Riders. For all the reasons you've got them on the list, these are some awesome models. The only thing I don't like about them is it probably looks like they'd be pretty difficult to put together. They're metal. There's a million pieces. Certainly not for the faint of heart, but you know, once they're assembled and painted, those models look awesome.
Yep, get your pinning skills tuned up, boys and girls. Oh yeah.
How about number two for you, Mark?
Oh, number two, I love me some Molochs, man. I love those models, and the one that came in Dungeon Saga is really, really good too. But we're not talking the Dungeon Saga one, so I just love me the Molochs. They got multiple head options and everything else. I love them. I mean, I like using them on the tabletop too. So, you know, my personal set are unassembled, but I did get to push around Mike Carter's a little bit, and I don't know. I love those guys, so I can't wait to throw mine together. So it's going to be a real fight for me, whether it's going to be Forces of Nature or the Abyssals that are going to be up next for me. So how about you, number two?
Enslaved Guardians. This one came out of left field for me because, you know, I was expecting them to be very Ushabti-like, and they're not. They're almost, to me, when I look at them, almost Stargate-ish. And it could be the paint scheme, it could be the model, it could be the detail, I'm not sure, but I really like those models. Probably the best model, the best unit in that Empire Dust Army.
Yeah, I really like them as well. I almost pulled the trigger on them for my last order over there from Wartime Hobbies. I almost did, but they're really nice. I really like those models too. So, but like I mentioned before, I've got that matched up to GW Army, so I'm going to be shooting you a little text message. We're going to have to make a deal here, Rob. So I see that in the future here. So I think that would work out. So my number one is your number five, and that is the Centaurs. I love those models. Again, keep trying to buy them. Again, they're sold out where I tried to pick them up. So I'm going to have to order them. I'm trying not to order them. I'm trying to buy them. And I just can't seem to get a hold of them. So last time I saw a box of them, it was down at Origins. Mike Carter was giving them away as a prize. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I really want that box of models. So they are really nice. And you said they have the Narnia feel and everything. They do, but I don't know what it is. I just am drawn to those models. And I like that they have two different options, you know, for running the unit. And I'm definitely, when I do my Forces of Nature Army, there will be Centaurs, because I already have the Centaur Chief. So I'm definitely going to put on some Centaurs, and I'm going to have to take that Hobby Claws money I got for Christmas and jingle up my friends at Wartime Hobbies and see what I can do here. But I love me some Centaurs, so... What did you do? Number one, Rob. Number one release for 2016.
Easy for me. It's the Molochs. Molochs are my favorite unit that Mantic makes. And what's weird is I know there are some people out there, Nick, that are complete haters on this unit. But I absolutely love it. In fact, you mentioned the Dungeon Saga Moloch character. That may be my favorite model or that favorite sculpt from Mantic period. I don't know what it is. They're chunky. But they have a lot of detail. The only head I don't like the Cyclops head. The rest of them, though, are awesome, awesome heads. Cool armament options, cool chunky bodies, just fantastic. Just fantastic models.
Oh, yeah. They say, I'm a big, fat demon, and I'm coming to play with you.
Well, it's like they're big and fat and slow, but they're just going to keep coming, and they will eventually get you.
Yeah, yeah. I like them a lot. So, and I like that Dungeon Saga one. I'm definitely going to be hacking up my Dungeon Saga kit. I'll be putting stuff in there, and then they'll just have to go play Dungeon Saga on their Kings of War bases. So that'll work out fine. That was one of my big disappointments. I really wish the Dungeon Saga stuff came on Kings of War appropriate bases. But
or you could have just bought the resin versions and...
Yeah, well, we're all not rich like you, Rob, so or Andy,
yeah, right,
for that
right.
matter. So.
Right.
Hey, I'm Alessio Cavatore, and you're listening to Countercharge.
Next, let's talk about the models we didn't actually like in 2016. Fortunately, it's going to be a shorter list because there's a lot less of them that we didn't like. But Mark, there's three on our lists. What's your number three?
I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of crossover on this list. So I have not seen your list yet, so I'm not even going to look at it. So my number three, the Goblin Big Git. I do not. That was the first model released for the year, the first one on the blog, and it's like, bleh. I hope this year gets better than this.
I actually have the same model at number three, and it's not that it's a terrible... it's not a terrible model. It's just, they can do so much better. That's the best way I could describe it. It's not terrible. I mean,
it doesn't fit. To me, it doesn't fit the other models. That's the big thing. You know, the other ones got the sharp ears and the sharp noses, and they got that look to them. You know right. what I mean? Like Blaster, you know, they've got that certain goblin look, and it just doesn't look like a Mantic goblin to me.
To be fair, though, no one uses a bigot on foot anyways, so who cares?
I guess that's true.
What's your number two, Mark?
Oh, the Troll Bruiser. Oh, the Troll Bruiser was a big loser for me. I mean, to quote Aladdin, big, powerful, massive upper body. Itty bitty legs. I don't know how physics make that guy stand up. I mean, If the legs were different on that model, he would be fantastic, but he's standing on these two little stilts. I mean, and I don't get it, but I love the upper part of the model. It's just from the waist down.
I don't mind the model though. I actually kind of like it. It's kind of unique.
And I want to like it more. It's just the physics of the whole thing. If it had a little bigger legs, I'd be much happier with it. I really would. Cause I love the waist up. I think he's just big, chunky, got the big weapon. He looks like he means business, you know? So maybe you got to take the top of him and mix him up with something else, make him a super cool model. So, but as he stands now, he's going to be my number two model I did not like in 2016.
Well, my number two is the Druid from the Forces of Nature. This one just is like, me too. I don't know. It's just a model that it's just uninspired and, just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, almost made my list. They'll be in my army and everything, but yeah, I don't know. They were kind of, some models had to make the middle of the road, but yeah, they definitely would not be anywhere close to my best of list. So,
and to be fair, a company would be hard pressed to make every model over the top amazing that everybody will love 100%. So, this one just didn't do it for me, but somebody might like it.
Yeah. It's like the sign in the back of, in our break room says at work. It's like, if you try to please all the people all the time, you're going to please none of the people all the time. So, you're going to have some swings and misses. Everybody has different tastes in this world. So,
And let's talk about the biggest miss of the year. And we are in complete agreement.
We are in complete agreement. I looked at your list. Look at that. We were right on with this one. You want to do it, Rob?
Yeah, the Elf Chariot. Part of it is I realize that they are trying to capture the aesthetic of the existing army, which I don't like. Like, I don't like the Elf army for Mantic, so... That's already preconditions me not to like this, but the Elf Chariot just, I don't know. It harkens too much to like a early 90s metal Tyranok chariot from Warhammer Fantasy or something. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me at all.
I have that early 90s Tyranok chariot, which is super awesome compared to this. It looks like a giant bathtub with sharp blades on top of a... Basilean's sister's chariot. I look at that. I saw that and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It looks like an armored bathtub. I can't stand that model. Oh, I look at that and want to claw my eyes out. It's just like, oh man, swing and a miss big time.
Here's one thing to keep in mind. It's not as bad as the original Drakon Riders.
Hey, you know what? That's true, but I kind of like those. So I have actually got the hero. So I have never put him together and painted, but just because you said that, I'm going to put him together. So
the guy on the dragon, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the little Drakon guy, little hero. Yeah. So yeah, well, hey, that's true, but the Elf Chariot's horrible. So sorry, Mantic. But
like I said, you can't have a home run every time. It's just not possible.
No, you absolutely can't. Absolutely can't. Well, Rob, why don't we talk about our biggest surprise of the year? And you looked like you wrote a book here, so I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I've got two. They're not huge, so that's why I've got two. The first one is that Mantic is super smart, and they turned to Brandon Palmer to paint up their Empire Dust model range.
Nice move.
Yeah, sweet move. I mean, it was really bright to take... your army and give it to one of the best painters, the most prolific army painters here in the U.S. Hopefully that's a trend that will continue because, I actually haven't seen a lot of the Empire of Dust models in the flesh unpainted, like in a package, but the way he's got them presented and painted up they look amazing. they look absolutely amazing. And it's a great trend because in the past we've off and on, I've had issues with some of the paint jobs that they've used to, they're selling their models, right? That's they're advertising and they haven't always put their best foot forward. And Brandon absolutely put their best foot forward with the Empire Dust model range.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, hey, I mean, that's just like what the boys at the Beer Phase did. What, Jeff, Ryan, and Mark, they put together that little contest and said, hey, Mantic models are good looking. You just got to paint them right. And they went ahead and had their own painting contest to put everything together. And they, you know, they put that out. And I think that was the brilliance of the move of having Brandon paint that army, because, I mean, it did look spectacular. And it did make me look in my cabinet to see all those Tomb King models and go, oh, should I sell you? So, you know, because they are really nice.
Yeah, what's your biggest surprise of the year?
My biggest surprise was just, I said it before, you know, just in my thoughts of the year, I just felt the community growing and coming together this year. So, and I didn't expect it to accelerate like it did through the year. You know what I mean? And to go along with that growth, Mantic grew. Okay. And they put out a bunch of new staff and the whole nine yards. And, you know, they got us Rob Berman and Zach and everything. And, you know, just it's just all starting to come together. And Mantic's still a very small company, but, you know, you can see it, you know, building and coming together. And, you know, it surprised me a little bit. You know what I mean? I think coming off the heels of their Kickstarters and, you know, stuff like that. You know, Matt Gilbert joining the team over there was a surprise. So I think Ronnie's really trying to, you know, put a really excellent team together. And I just think you're going to see it continue to grow as it goes along. And that was a big surprise for me. So, and I'm going to agree with you on your second point, Rob. This was my other one, so we'll talk about it together. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is.
The other big surprise is that the hobby infection here in the U.S. has broken containment and has spread to the U.K. scene. And just glad to see the emphasis on hobby in certain events in the U.K. starting to rise. And I'm super excited that Display Board Wanker became a thing.
Yeah, for me, it's the fact that, you know, you always thought that, you know, the UK-US travel was a big barrier. And the fact that, you know, we've got guys from the UK coming over here to the tournaments and we're sending people over there next year to the UK Clash of Kings, you know, that ocean isn't as big as it looks, evidently. And, you know, the communities are growing together. You know what I mean? And that's kind of my big, and it's a nice surprise. I really think it's awesome. You know, there were a couple of people that did that back in the old Warhammer days, but I feel it more in a closer community for some reason here with the Kings of War thing. I don't know why, but I just feel a deeper connection. So, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So that was one of my big surprises, and a very nice, pleasant surprise too. So, which was very cool.
Well, let's switch gears and talk biggest disappointment of the year. And Mark, yours is an easy one for you.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, Ronnie. It was the Mantic Compendium. What a waste of paper. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I got my copy, but man, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's just a catalog with an extra thing. And my Kings of War extra bit that's tossed in there, I already had it. You know what I mean? It's just the special characters. You know, from Dungeon Saga, that wasn't real expiring for me to pick it up. So yeah, it was a cool idea. I you know, and stuff like that, but it's going to get out of date so fast and stuff like that. But, you know, and I was a little disappointed just in my, you know, my extras, I think, for Kings of War. So, and Kings of War makes up the bulk of the book too. So tip of the hat, Mantic, for that. But yeah, I just thought it was uninspiring. So,
well, it's
a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a platform that's out there now, and I think they can leverage it, right? So maybe next time it's a little bit more than just a catalog, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I loved the Mantic Journal. I've got all the issues. I loved it. I actually bought duplicates so I would have a good copy at home, and I'd take a travel copy to beat the crap out of it. You know what I mean? When I traveled. And I thought having a Mantic magazine was great. Now, Iron Watch has stepped in and does that, okay? And they do a fantastic job of that, okay? But I don't know. There was just something about that Mantic journal. You know, it was cutting edge and earlier. And so I was happy to see the compendium come out. I really, 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 really wanted to get a copy of it. And then when it got here, I was all excited. I flipped through it. I was like, ugh. okay. I flipped through it and said, I guess I'm done with this, and threw it in the corner over there as a collectible, and hopefully somebody will pay big money for it someday. So how about you, Rob? What was your biggest disappointment of the year?
For me, it's an easy one. It's the Kings of War app. You know, it just felt like they didn't finish testing it. It was released before it was ready. You know, not all the points were correct. The interface is a little clunky. And it came out in July. They just haven't done anything with it. So that's pretty much it. It's the Kings of War app on the Apple Store. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. I mean, it's free. There's a reason why it's free. It's not ready for prime time yet. But
I deleted it from my phone today.
Right.
To make the free approval. Hey, you know what? Easy Army is awesome. So, I mean, that's the way to go for that. And I wish Easy Army would have an app. That's what Mantic should have done. team up with and throw some money at the developer of Easy Army, you know, and put it together. Because, yeah, that app's just not – I agree with you. That was it was so underwhelming. I put one Army list with it, and it's just been sitting on my phone. And I did delete it today because I needed some extra room on my phone. And it's like, okay, which app is going to go? Kings of War. I've used it once. Gone.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, Mark, let's switch gears. What was your favorite release of the year?
My absolute favorite release of the year. And, you know, I want to agree with you because I did take a peek and take a look and see what you said there. But I'm going to say that the Empires of Dust release with all that, we've talked about it. It had some super cool models in it. The Brandon Palmer paint job, the way it came out, just the whole package. I just think that release was the best one of the year. And I think part of that is because I was in on the Kickstarter. So I had already seen the Abyssal. I already had the Abyssals. I already had the Forces of Nature. So to me, that wasn't, you know, the big release for the year.
Right.
You know,
and the Empire Dust was very fresh. Right. It was very, I don't want to say hidden, but it was kind of like contained. And here it is. Here's the whole army. And, you know, we may have seen some sketches and whatnot, but it certainly wasn't on everybody's minds, like you mentioned, with the Forces of Nature or the Abyss. Right. And so in the fact that it was all released at one big swoop, had the fantastic paint job. Yeah, it made for an awesome, awesome release.
Right. And I expect to see this, hopefully, for all the future releases that come out from Mantic. You know, I anticipate that this is going to be the way the Trident Realms come out. And that's what we're seeing. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, the Mega Army and the Little Army already up for pre-order.
Right. A lot of new models.
A lot of new models and things like that. But we'll talk about that later on. But, you know, for me, Empire of Dust all the way. I think that was my top favorite release of the year.
And for me, it's an easy one. It's the historical supplement. I've already alluded to it. This book allows us to tap into an existing player base with all those historical players out there. We already saw the acceptance, if you will, of Kings of War with the historical players even before the supplement came out. I mean, at NashCon, we had a ton of people that were playing Bolt Action and Flames of War last year that came over and played Kings of War with us this year. And I think this historical supplement just pushes that even farther, right? The folks that were out there playing Warhammer Ancient Battles or maybe Saga, hey, you've got models, bring them over. Here's the book. Learn the rules. It's pretty simple. Let's play. So I'm excited about what the future holds.
Oh, absolutely. I love, and this was going to be my favorite release too. This would be my number two probably. And it's not for the being the supplement itself. It's what it means for the future. And I think it's got a lot of great ideas for spicing up your home games, or even you could pull ideas out of that, you know, for your tournaments if you want. You know what I mean? I love the way that they modified the use of hills, and I mentioned this before. I love some of the special rules. I love the way it comes together. I think you're going to see some of this in Kings of War 3rd Edition. And, you know, for me, I mean, the hills rule is the only one I've used out of the book at home for the home game so far. But, you know, I really like that rule. So it makes the level one hills worth something. And I just think that there's going to be pieces, because I'm talking to Colin. We're going to do the International Campaign Day, get some interesting ideas from them, and then we can, you know, kind of blend them up, you know, so we can play some games. And I think that that's going to be really cool. And it's the ideas in the books. You know, I mean, I will probably never play with the armies. I will probably use the ideas in that books with my Kings of War armies to play. You know, like if I don't have spellcasters on either side, you know, we could say no spellcasters. We're just going to go straight up punch them in the mouth, you know, no magic. And then, you know, you can draw off of those special, you know, different rules and different magic items, so to speak, or different items that you can have, you know, just to mix it up. You know, that was such a good book. I mean, just reading it made me happy. So it makes me so hopeful for the future. You know, you just know you're in a good place.
Well, let's take another quick commercial break. And on the other side, Mark, you're going to walk us through Mantic's plans for 2017.
Hey, I'm Joe.
And I'm Ryan. And we're the Hobby Heroes Podcast, covering King's War and Wild West Exodus.
We do our best to put a narrative slant to our hobby by playing games with some crazy rules and really different scenarios.
So check us out on iTunes and at thehobbyheroes.com.
And follow us on Twitter at Hobby Heroes Cast. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Well, let's talk a little bit about what 2017 has in store for us for Kings of War. We can only go over what Mantic has told us so far, so let's go ahead and get started. So first, the bad stuff. Mantic's been hit with a bunch of price increases. We all know what happened to the value of the pound, etc. So all of the army sets that Mantic has at £50, they're going to be going up in price to £59.99. So they're going to be going up in price. Now, Mantic is going to be looking at ways to reconfigure those sets to bring them back down to £50. And they say that they're going to do it to, you know, make a better starter force out of those. But, you know, here's my idea, and that goes back to those 500-point lists. I would love to see the starter armies be 500-point armies, and I would love for them to put the army list in the box. So when you pull it out, you have your unit, your little hero guy in there, and you've got a 500-point Kings of War, legal Kings of War army ready to rock and roll. I think that would be a great way to get players starting, you know, and then you could, hit it in at that 50-pound point, and I think that would be great. And if you can make them 750, that's great, you know, or, you know, if they're, but like goblins are going to be tough to do, but, you know, if you got some of your more elite armies, you know, yeah, you can pump up the points, but put a 500-point army list in there so that you build the models that you need to get a nice 500 point army. And I think it would be nice to put the leader in there, you know, I just think that would be a really nice thing. So hopefully we'll see that happen. So they're going to be working on that. So, you know, and of course they're not going to be raising the price until February 1st, 2017. So it gives you time if you want to pick up some of the current box set with the starter army sets. You can go over there and pick those up at Mantic for £50. And also, that gives you another opportunity or another reason, I should say, to come and join our existing iTunes contest. That's right. We're giving away a Mantic starter army box set of the army of your choice. And we are going to be shipping that international, and that is thanks to our friends over there at Wartime Hobbies. Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. So all you need to do is head over to iTunes or Stitcher Smart Radio, whatever. You know, you find a platform to leave us a review. Send me an email at countercharge2015@aol.com. Again, countercharge2015@aol.com. And we'll get you registered for the contest. And you have until January 31st, 2017 to get in those entries. So we look forward to you, you know, taking a chance to go ahead and do those reviews and get me the email. I got a couple more here the other day. I think I got another one today, which is awesome. So you guys are out there doing a great job. We really, really appreciate it. So if you can go out there and do that. And then, hey, you can pick up your Mantic starter army and not worry about that price increase. So that'll be fantastic. So, that's the bad news. So let's go ahead and get into the good news. So first, Mantic is starting 2017 with a new year, new army theme, because it always takes time to get an army ready for the tabletop. And, you know, hey, if you want to be involved with the upcoming massive summer campaign we're going to talk about in a minute, that's a good way for you to get building and painting. So this was you know, I was already inspired to do my bulk painting before. I'm really inspired to do it now. So, Rob, do you think you'll be putting a new army together for 2017?
I've got so many to choose from. I hope so.
I know you do. It's a leading question, my friend.
Yeah, I actually want to get the halflings painted. Just right now, I'm in the middle of painting all this terrain. So, I'm trying to get that done. So, I do want to get to painting a new army very, very, very badly.
Well, if you're speed painting, don't do that on those halflings. Those models are too nice for that. So, you know, you, my friend, can speed paint. I mean, that army is good. And you did the speed painting job of the century on those guys. So it still blows my mind how you did it. And they came out so nice. So, yeah, you need to find an army, but, you know, you've got a lot of material there to put one together.
Absolutely. I've got a huge Abyssal army that I've been toying with. Got the Halflings. I think I have just about every army except for Trident Realms that I have models for. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
There you go. All right. Well, next up. We've already talked about this with Nick Williams about this upcoming release here, and that is going to be the 2017 Kings of War Tournament book. Basically, over the year, Mantix noticed that the Kings of War Tournament scene has really exploded. Rob and I have been discussing this earlier in the episode. You know, the community is growing, and, you know, hey, I don't think Mantic could fail to notice that they ended up with 74 players at the Clash of Kings this year. So, I mean, just take a look what they did for next year. They went ahead and moved the venue so they could get up to 120. So, so after numerous questions from Kings of War community about tips for organizing tournaments, and, you know, they went ahead and put out those tournament prize packs that you can buy off of the website and stuff like that. You know, they decided that they were going to go ahead and put together a book full of tournament suggestions and alternate scenarios and stuff like that. And Nick has put together the Ultimate Kings of War Tournament Guide. I cannot wait to see this book because, again, similar to the Kings of War historical book, I'm going to use this as like a campaign idea kind of thing, too. So I'm really excited about it. So this new book is supposed to be released early next year. We don't have a release date yet, but it's supposed to be the go-to guide for increasing the amount of people that want to organize well-run, exciting, and enjoyable tournaments in 2017 and beyond. So I know I think Nick mentioned that there might be a new one of these books every year. So,
you know, I have been thinking about, you know, ways to keep things fresh. And this year we had the Clash of Kings pack, and that really did a number on our meta because up until the Clash of Kings pack was released, we saw a lot of flyers. And then when the Clash of Kings pack was adopted, we saw less flyers for obvious reasons. And I think this Clash of I think this tournament book has the possibility to do the same thing, which is mix it up even further because, you know, there's talk of new magical artifacts, elimination of some of the magical artifacts, maybe some new spells. So it's a way to get things interesting because in previous game systems, the way the system was kept fresh was every few months a new army book would be released. Well, we don't have that. We don't get new army books, right?
And we don't want that.
So what we can do is what they're doing is releasing a yearly releasing an annual book that maybe swaps out some of the magical artifacts, adds a few more spells, and just keeps things fresh. Keeps things moving.
Right. And the best part is it's optional. So, you know, you can use this. You know, like I said, it's good for spicing up the basement game. It's good for spicing up the tournament scene. But, you know, hey, you want to play straight out of the book? That's great. You know, I mean, the casual player is always going to play straight out of the book and not put in the big investment. But if you're invested in Kings of War, you need to spice it up a little bit. You know, this stuff's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to keep things fresh for sure.
Absolutely. And then the next thing Mantic, and we've talked about this a bunch already, the next thing that Mantic's going to be doing is releasing the Trident Realms army upon the world. And that they're going to be coming out in February. I believe they're going to be shipping around February 10th is what they mentioned. But you can go ahead and pre-order those now. So this is the official release for the Trident Realms army. It's going to feature new miniatures. And I've already tweeted out some pictures of the army sets that Mantic's producing for the Trident Realms of Nerdica. So you can go check those out on the Twitter feed, and you can go check them out on the Mantic website too. So, and you can get your hands on some units like the brand new water elementals, which are like mini waves that are going to crash against the enemy. I love that they're complete with a surfing octopus, which is what I call them. Now, I know Lordy just loves these new models.
Yeah, but really, does it matter what Lordy thinks? He's not going to paint them.
Yeah, exactly. So, I looked at them and, you know, I thought they were pretty cool. And you know what? The cool factor upped with the surfing octopus. I thought that added a cute little touch to it. So, and then they're going to be bringing out the brand new River Guard. These were not even in the Kickstarter. So these are brand new and they look like little ninja frogs. So they're going to be interesting.
Awesome models.
They're going to be, I know. And, you know, I'm just waiting to see. Unfortunately, Trident Realms is down on my list, but those ninja frogs certainly are cool. So, and then they're going to be doing the Thole, which is a bizarre mix of halfling and octopus. Maybe you can put some of these guys in your halfling army, Rob. So,
fantastic idea.
That'll be very interesting. And then the Gigas, large crustaceans. Why can't I say that word?
Crustaceans.
And then the Gigas, large crabs with massive pinchers. They're going to be cool. Even though I do like the plastic crabs that were used during the Kings of War painting. So I thought they really looked good. So, but
yeah, Bill Harvat.
Yeah, Bill, awesome. Shout out. Bill's Trident Realms army really looked good from the Kings of War army in a weekend spectacular. So, and speaking of which, that might be a good idea once everybody decides if they're going to be picking up an army to do before the summer campaign. So speaking of the summer campaign, that's what's coming up next. Summer 2017 will bring a global campaign that will shape the fate of Mantica. Mantic is going to be working with Beasts of War to create an online hub where you can upload your results, which will then affect the future of Mantica. I think this is really cool. Of course, you know, we've got the international campaign that's already run once. We're going to run it again here in January. Mark Cox and Chris Kapsner are bringing this to us. This is getting big this time around. I think this is a nice primer getting us ready for the big summer campaign. So I just think that's fantastic. So a tip of the hat to Mark and Chris for getting this whole thing started. I just think I miss the GW summer campaigns that they used to travel around to the stores with the boards and the models and everything. I miss that. Those were so much fun. And I hope we get that to Mantic someday. I think that would be fantastic. So we'll throw Pat in a van and have him drive all over the U.S. visiting hobby shops. But
and I live in a van down by the river.
There you go. Cue down by the river right now, right? We'll insert that music here. But yeah, I just think that would be really cool. I love campaigns, so I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So the studio is currently hard at work putting together the background for the summer campaign, including new named characters and details of the key battles that are going to take place during the campaign. There'll be new heroes for all of the armies that Mantic currently produces. And depending on how they perform in the campaign, they may live or die, and you may see them continue in the Kings of War world, which I think that would be very cool. So fight hard to keep them alive, I guess. But Mantic's going to be giving us more details about the summer campaign throughout the year, and the campaign book is due for launch in the spring. So you can read all the background material before getting your army ready for the battle. Mantica will never be the same again. Personally, I want to see some novels come out of all this action, Rob, after the summer. Don't let me down, Ronnie. I want novels.
I'm just excited they're working with Beasts of War. Those guys have amazing production value, and I love their content. So it's going to be a class act.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what really that put it over the top for me on that, too. So I really, you know, teaming up with Beasts of War, it's going to make it high profile. It's just going to be awesome. I cannot wait for this. Like I said, I was always a big fan of those GW summer campaigns. So I really think you need to do that. It draws people into the game. It's just fun, you know. And, you know, they're going to move this timeline forward. So, you know, I would like, again, I'd like some of the history of Mantica, but if they're going to move the storyline forward through this campaign, then that I think gives them an excellent way to put out that fluff, the novels and everything else, and, you know, get it to grow and give them a launching point. And then, similar to the Silmarillion, you can go back and write the history later if you want and, you know, put together some historical battle campaign book or something like that. Hint, hint, Ronnie. And
God help us. God help us. I think, Silmarillion.
I think that would be awesome. Yeah, that's a sleepy read. But, you know, hey, you need the background, right? And speaking of background, finally, near the end of the year, Mantic's going to be giving us a Kings of War source book, which is just like the beautiful edition that some of you have seen in your Warpath pledges. Now, I have my Warpath pledge. I only got the rule book so far, but I did take this look at the source book. It's very nice. So I'm looking forward to see what they do with Kings of War. Again, I want novels. And actually, this could have been in my biggest disappointment in 2016 because Ronnie mentioned at Adepticon that they, you know, were working with an author and a publisher and they thought we were going to get novels and I didn't see any come out this year. So Dungeon Saga got one, but that doesn't count. So I need Kings of War. So I still want the novels, but I think that's a nice start with the source book. I really like to see that going. And I think Mantic's moving in that direction with the writing contest and stuff like that. So they just got to get some freelance authors out there and get some stuff going. And I think the summer campaign and the source book is just going to be the fertile ground that we need to get everybody's, you know, minds going. So Mr. Smith's going to have his hands full as the lore master of Mantic. So keeping all this together, but I think that's awesome. Any thoughts on the source book, Rob?
I'm excited about the proposition. I think anytime you can get more background fluff, that you can basically set the table for your narrative experience in Kings of War, that's never a bad thing, right?
Right. Reading your rule book over and over gets boring after a while. I need some stories. You know what I mean? To tie it all together. I think that's going to be huge. This will give me part of that, you know, while I'm waiting. I'm hoping they surprise the heck out of me. But I get, you know, and I'm sorry I'm saying novels over again and again. But, you know, I think the summer campaign really lays the table for that. So the source book, I think, will be a nice, you know, way to move forward. And I think that source material will really help build the game. Do not make it another Mantic compendium. Make it good. So I am looking forward to it, definitely. So, all right, Rob. Well, why don't we go ahead and take a break and come back on the other side and wrap up the show. What do you think?
Howdy, this is Mark Cox.
And this is Jeff Swan.
And this is Ryan Smith, and we are the Beer Phase Podcast.
We're three TOs from Texas, and we talk about the most important phase in Kings of War, as well as other games we play, the beer phase.
Hang out with us and get our thoughts on hobby, the best beer available, any gaming tactics and current events in the gaming community, as well as guest interviews from people from all over the world that have the same hobbies we do.
So grab a beer and have a laugh with us as we BS about all things wargaming. Check us out on Twitter, at the beer phase, and TheBeerPhase.podbean.com or on iTunes. The Beer Phase, one word.
Welcome back. Well, I certainly hope you've enjoyed our look back at 2016 and our glimpse forward at 2017. In our next episode, we will tackle the state of Kings of War. We'll take a look at a few of the criticisms of the game, some of the solutions for dealing with them, and a little wish list listing some of the changes we'd love to see in Kings of War. And we'd love to have your input on this topic for our next show. So head over to our Facebook page, head over to Twitter, and share your thoughts. You can even email us if you want. Our email addresses are in the show notes. So, but before we go, we need to remind you about our iTunes contest again, because we're really excited about this. Our friends of the show, Wartime Hobbies, and they're sponsoring the drawing for the contest. The winner is going to receive a Mantic Starter Army box of your choice, shipped internationally. So post a review and send me an email at countercharge2015@aol.com. All right. So you can go ahead, and I just want to remind you, if you want to follow our adventures, you can follow us over on our Squarespace website. You can follow us over there on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter. I am at ASLSKFan. And then, of course, we got CounterCharge15. And then Rob is at Retro Alias. So you can check us out over there. Yeah, I love our Twitter community, man. I have so much fun with that. I live on Twitter. Twitter's my place. So Rob can have Facebook. I've got Twitter. So if you want to find us, that's how you can find us. So.
And we figured we would close out 2016 with some thank yous and some shout outs to some of our more colorful members of the Kings of War community. So let's start. These are in no particular order. Let's start with Mantic Games. Thanks to Ronnie, Matt, Joe, Community Pat, Rob, and all the other folks at Mantic Games for setting the table and giving us an awesome game to play in. To the Direct Misfire folks, best army reviews from New Zealand. Thanks to the Hobby Heroes podcast for continually reminding us of how great narrative play can be. To the Beer Face crew for reminding us that great events are built by great people.
And beer.
Yeah, and beer. That's important too. To the Lake SWAT podcast, you know, in particular, Chris. If you haven't listened to his show, you need to. Chris has the best laugh in our community, and it probably he probably laughs at least 50 times in every one of his episodes. To Dead Zone the podcast, Rob and Jake, for continually reminding us that there are too many great games and not enough time. Thanks to the Unplug Radio guys, Jake and Greg, for the unbridled enthusiasm. Where the hell is my third episode? To the 4 Foot Snake guys for making our podcast sound professional.
There you go, and I'm still working on your challenge there, John. Don't give up on me. I'm still working on it.
And to Austin Peasley from Iron Watch for giving us something to read in the bathroom. And for me personally, a big thanks to the Nashville Old Timers. This group of guys remind me every time I'm hanging out with them that it's about fellowship and having a big old time, and it's just not about winning and losing. And to Todd and Cindy, because to be fair, they are the catalysts that make this all work. So big thanks to them. For Darren, for being the best reluctant guest we could have ever wished for. For Cranky Lawyer, well, for just being cranky. To my daughter Aubrey, for still being crazy and reluctantly willing to try any board game, even if it's not good. To my wife Janine, for being the most patient person in the world.
No, she is the goddess of the war game wife pantheon. So awesome. She's what makes Rob.
That's right. And Mark, you've got a few shout outs too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, I got to give a shout out to my regular opponent, Colin. So my son, you know, we always have a good time playing. And of course, I have got to thank our Twitter regulars. You make my day so much fun every day. So that's everyone from Norway to England to New Zealand. I mean, all around the world. I have got tweets going constantly, and it is so much fun to pull that up. And, you know, anytime I need a laugh or I got a few minutes or, you know, sometimes it takes me a half an hour to get through all those tweets, but it's so much fun. I love our Twitter community. So thanks, guys and gals, for making that so much fun. And I want to thank all of our awesome guests that we've had on the show for making our show what it is. I mean, we love having you on the show. I mean, we love, you know, doing these Rob and Mark episodes for you. But, you know, our guests, we really love having them. And we're going to have a lot more for you in 2017. And finally, most of all, you for listening. You're the reason why we do this every week. We're glad that you're part of the Kings of War community. And we're glad you're part of our community. So thank you. And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to everybody. And that's going to do us tonight.
Until next time, keep counting charging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on CounterCharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.